The coronavirus outbreak is testing leaders around the world, including President Trump, who has downplayed the crisis and says it won't last as long as public health officials believe it will. Let's bring in Julian Zelizer, who's professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University. Julian, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
And we come to you for historical perspective, and every day this feels like it's more going to be a part of history, a big part of our history. Is there any other moment that this compares to as you look at it?
Yeah, for me, it really does remind me, although it's a pandemic, of the Great Depression, where the bottom falls out of our society and economy. Things get worse for a while, and it lasts for a long time, and created the Great Depression in the 1930s. The same kinds of social anxiety, fear, depression, as a result of what was happening to the nation. And I think that's really similar to what a lot of people are feeling, although now people are feeling that in isolation. So we even lack some of the resources people could draw on in the 1930s.
And when we think about that moment in our history, one of the quotes that pops into my head is FDR saying, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself." How do you think President Trump is rising to this moment?
I think he's coming rightly under a lot of criticism. He sent many mixed messages about what needs to be done or what was happening. He was slow to respond. He's lacked a clear plan of what's going to unfold in the next few weeks and months ahead. And he hasn't used all the resources that he has available to him. And so I think many governors in both parties are looking at Washington, and they're not seeing the kind of strong leadership that they really need for this kind of crisis from the White House. And they also have a president who is not listening to healthcare experts. And this is a time you can't simply dismiss expertise.
Well, and in fact, it has been the governors who have been the ones that have been shutting things down. President Trump is talking about whether he's going to reopen the economy earlier than the health experts say. But in fact, it's the governors who have been closing things down. Are you seeing governors rising to a level of leadership that we haven't seen before in this crisis?
They are. And this is also like the early part of the Depression, where you have strong governors step up. And you've had in New York, Governor Cuomo, Governor Baker, DeWine, Governor DeWine in Ohio. There's been a number of figures in both parties who have taken tough actions. They've closed down, public interaction, even though that was unpopular. They've been very straightforward about what was happening in a way that differs from what you hear from the Oval Office. And they're showing management in a time of crisis. So governors are doing, I think, a very good job. But on their own, I don't think they're going to be able to handle this.
Julian, you know, you talked about World War II and the Great Depression. I wonder also if we should be looking back to what the 1910s were like, because you had not just World War I, but also the last major pandemic on this scale, or at least it looks like it could be on this scale, which was the Spanish flu in 1918.
Yeah, 1918, I've talked about this in various places, was a pandemic that was comparable to what we're going through today. I mean, we didn't have the kinds of medical resources that are available, but it caused the same kind of disruption. It caused massive amounts of casualties, and it totally wrecked American society for a long time, and it was global in nature. So I think in terms of health and a healthcare crisis, that's another important moment, although the question is, does this last even longer than that did in terms of the impact here on our domestic life?
Do you think that this is going to have long-lasting effects? I mean, if you look right now, even at traffic in this country, there are major cities that people would spend hours getting to and from work. And right now, so many are working from home. There's no traffic. People are starting to realize that they can do things maybe a little differently that they might stick with in the long term. Do you see long-lasting effects from the momentary disruption?
I do. I think the memories from this moment, this is so severe, will never go away. I think it is like the generation of the 30s that was scarred from seeing the economy fall apart so dramatically. I think we're now going to be cognizant not only of big holes that we have in our public health process and in dealing with these kinds of pandemics, but some of the ordinary social actions we didn't think of in terms of health, will be on the table in years to come. And so I don't think this ends, we go back to normal and everything resumes. I think there are going to be long-term discussions once we're out of this about things that need to change.
I wonder even about things like shaking hands, hugging people when you see them. Will we go back to that so quickly?
I think so. I mean, we won't actually. I mean, I think there will be an impact. And I've written, I remember how my grandfather who lived through the Depression, a lot of what I heard from him in terms of making sure you eat all your food and never leave anything, or watching your money because you never know what's going to happen, that became part of his life until he passed away. And I think as I look at people who in their 20s and 30s who are living through this, I think even a handshake is going to look very differently, or even going into a very crowded area will look very differently when this is over. And it will be part of their life and part of changes that we see in decades ahead.
That is Julian Zelizer, professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University. Julian, thank you as always.
Thanks for having me.